And now it's time for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes.
All right, welcome into the bullpen. We are getting to get turnt. Not really, but that's an inside joke. But maybe you've heard us talk about it. I don't know. But the point of the matter is it's Friday. We were going to record it yesterday, but Evan was too cool for that. And we were going to record this morning, except I was too cool for that. So, apparently.
And neither one of us wanted to blink first in the coolness contest.
So, naturally, we agreed to show up on a Friday night. We're going to have a short show today due to time constrictions. But I really just kind of want to mention our basketball team has had a good start to the season. They're now 2-0, right? Did they?
2-0, but the Bristol game.
No, they're 2-0. They played Bristol as well.
Well, yeah, they played Bristol, but Bristol's not accredited.
I know. That's what I said. We're 2-0.
Well, they beat Irvine, and then they won
UC
at
Irvine.
Home.
Yeah.
And then they won at home.
We won against NJIT, which is actually a pretty good team.
So.
And they've got a decent thing. So we're 2-0. We did win again on Wednesday against Bristol, but as we mentioned, they're not an accredited NCAA school, so it doesn't count towards our record or against it if we had lost, which would have been embarrassing given that they were tiny, apparently.
So it's like a glorified practice game.
Yeah, if you're practicing it's not against even a high school team.
Apparently it's not even counted as a preseason game either.
Well, it's just an exhibition game for fun, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that, I mean, it's good, though. Like, the things I've seen so far from the team are definitely positives because they have started out well. We're going to talk a little bit more about them in the main event, but just wanted to mention at the start of the show that they are 2-0. Now, last Saturday, our football team fell to...
Everybody?
They fell to New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Even though we actually won the game, which is stupid. And if you don't know about it, then that might not make sense to you. But I'll go over it in the Wall of Shame.
which is good because I also have a college football Wall of Shame.
They fall to 3-7. So, not good.
No.
Not good at all. But that's kind of what's going on with that. We had cross-country regionals. We're here last week, was it? It was interesting because we had some people from Texas Tech came in and to Jimmy John's where I work and had an interesting conversation with some of them. And I think they were a little bit surprised at how it wasn't that cold here yet. And then it quickly deteriorated in the last couple of days. So it's not great now. But yeah, so that's fun. And apparently we're going to have it next year. But apparently the course was pretty good, so that's good. And we will, well, I guess we're going to get to our NFL picks later, but we're going to give you an update now of how it's going. And I'm less than thrilled about the results.
Yeah.
As of late.
It's gotten much closer since we switched to working the spread instead of just outright win-loss.
I was definitely giving you some momentum by just picking against you just to have a difference.
You're free to pick whatever. I just,
I know. I'm just saying, like, even though I didn't really – I was thinking that the other team would probably win, but I could see it going the other way, so I would just pick against you just because. That also kind of started the trend. But, yeah, Evan's done a lot better since we've gone to the spread formation. Spread, picking against the spread than I have.
My Las Vegas ties are coming in handy.
We're going to Vegas.
So this week, you were at a 500, 7-7. So, and I went 8-6. So it was a one game difference. That brought our total, including Thursday night, where we both kind of won late. We both won the spread late with...
It was bad. We talked about it beforehand, and we both picked the Saints to cover to cover the spread. And I actually thought the Saints were going to win because Carolina's so up and down this year. But early on, it looked pretty bad, and I even texted Evan. And I was like, yeah, that was not a good pick because we both picked them. And
so we were
down
23 to
3 or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not good. I'm going to lose that pick. But they brought it back and lost by only three. So,
we won it by a point.
With the line at 3.5, we barely won. We
got it by a point.
Half a point.
Yeah. And so that brings our season total. You are at 72 wins, 58 losses, and 2 ties. I am now at 71 wins, 59 losses, and 2 ties. So we are now a game apart.
On the plus side, there shouldn't be any more ties.
Yes.
Because they usually set the line so that you can't end up on top of the line. It's usually at half a point or an unlikely point.
And just
so there shouldn't be ties.
Given that most competent NFL teams can probably get it done in overtime if they work hard enough.
Well, even at that, I mean, with the spread.
Well, yeah, with the spread, it probably will never happen.
Be,
or at least it.
I mean, before, obviously, yeah. There was a small chance of getting a tie, but it happened twice this year. So stupid. The funny thing about it is that always drives me nuts and Madden when they simulate ties. And I'm like, no one's ever ties, and then we have 2 this year. Stupid.
Yeah. So it's getting neck and neck.
Yeah, so. Well, I'm going to pull away. I'm just going to do it.
You gonna do it?
Yeah.
All right.
But you can't pick every way the same way as me all the time because that's not fair.
Every way.
Well, I mean, I always make you say yours first, so I guess it doesn't really work out that way. You're doing yours independent of mine.
I wonder what he's thinking.
No. Anyway, so yeah, it's kind of an update. We're only a game apart now, which is upsetting to me. But I'm gonna pull away. I'm gonna pull away. Because I'm gonna dig deep and get these right all the time now.
All the time.
All the time. But yeah, with that, you got anything else for news? Your boy Chris Bryant won the NL
got
MVP.
The NL MVP, which is interesting because 2015 Rookie of the Year, 2014 Minor Leaguer of the Year, and then 2013 College Player of the Year. So it's
we get it. He vapes.
Awards. He vapes.
Just kidding. Now, obviously, he's a good player, but yeah.
Yeah. So,
I wonder if Corey Seager is going to do a similar thing. I mean, he got Rookie of the Year. He was in the final, like the final voting for the MVP as well.
Oh, wow.
So,
nice.
So, he's doing pretty good.
Some good
I'm excited about him.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much it. Not too much else going on.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to go into our wall of shame. And I got a sneeze. And it went away. So I guess if I suddenly sneeze, you'll know why. It finally came back. But anyway, wall of shame. I have 2 entries.
Okay.
Both related to the football game last Saturday.
So they're both Aggie football.
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I've got another one that's not Aggie football.
All right. I'm going to let you go first because I might rant for a minute.
Sounds good. My wall of shame entry this week is Louisville Cardinals football.
fair enough.
They were sitting at number 5 in the nation, looking to try and make their case for a playoff contention. And they go to Houston, who had not beat a top 10 team at home since like the 60s or something. And they just drop the ball. They lose 36-10. And, you know, Lamar Jackson got outplayed by whoever it is for Houston, Greg Ward Jr. in the battle of the quarterbacks. Just got outperformed. And it was – and not to make matters worse, I mean, obviously there's going to be tough losses in any sport. But with this, Louisville didn't get a score on the board until the third quarter. They finally got something on the board in the third quarter against this Houston team.
That's definitely the way you want to go down. The analytics are speaking to me that the first time you score should be in the third quarter.
Just
that's what you're going to get
your
best
result. Tank the first half. Just tank the first half. But then, and I just think to kind of add insult to injury, according to ESPN, Houston had a 95% chance of winning by the second quarter. Obviously, those are just probabilities, but... So it was not a good night for Louisville Cardinals. They have probably squandered their chance at making their case for the college football playoffs.
Oh, I absolutely believe there's no chance that they can make it into that now.
Especially after Houston. They lost to a team that already dropped well out of ranking. So,
yeah, which is weird because Houston was playing really well at the beginning of the season. They kind of live and die by Greg Ward, and if he has an off game, then they kind of struggle. But the team, I mean, they're 9-2. It's not like they've had a terrible season or anything. I'm surprised that they're not ranked, to be honest. I mean, they did lose to Navy, which wasn't good. But then, I mean, Navy's a good team. They lost to SMU. That was their second loss, and that's pretty much what dropped them out of the rankings.
But still, though, if you're Louisville and you're number five in the country, even if it is Houston, this should have been a totally different game, especially with a player like Lamar Jackson leading your team. So
yeah, it's hard to explain.
Yeah,
Louisville had a lot going for them, and as the first video, if you go to that box score, is Petrino and colon, and then in quotations, "We blew it," which is exactly what happened. I mean, they definitely blew their chances right there, and I mean that's you definitely don't want to see that happen for your program ever, but I mean that's got to hurt a little bit more. Because they were in a position that they could move into the top four by the time that the playoff rolls around. And so, yeah, it's definitely Wall of Shame worthy.
Yeah.
My entries, you said the one, right?
Yeah, just the one.
All right. My first one and the second one are both connected. Okay, first off, the referees in the game against New Mexico going into the Wall of Shame.
Now, is this
they get the double platinum spot in the Wall of Shame.
Now, is this like more than just fan?
Oh, this is beyond
the refs.
This is beyond fan annoyance because okay. I don't like to blame losses on referees, but this is a situation where you absolutely have to blame it on them.
Okay.
And the reason why, for anyone who wasn't able to watch it, was. And I think this was actually the same crew that screwed us over against Air Force with a few calls there. They did a bad job. I mean, we still didn't execute as well as we should have beyond that. But this one definitely cost us the game because there's 16 seconds left, and we throw the ball into the end zone. We got Ron Quavion Tarver, who had beaten his defender, and the defender was trying to catch up, and he kind of was losing his balance and tried to grab Tarver to kind of steady himself, and Tarver just like brushed his hands off of him, which is completely fine by the rules. And the guy starts trying to pull Tarver down on top of him. Tarver still catches the ball in the end zone to give us a lead because we were down three and we drove down the field and we're taking the lead with 16 seconds left in the game off of just an amazing catch despite the pass interference. There's a flag, and everybody's just cheering because obviously it was on the defense because he was pulling our guy down because he lost his balance and he was falling down, and he grabbed our guy. Well, the referees decided that they were going to call that offensive for brushing his hands off of him, which is once again completely legal. And the guy's pulling our guy down, and they call offensive pass interference.
Oops.
With 16 seconds left to cost us the game. Now, we didn't do a great job after that.
Did we try to review it, or is that not possible?
You can't review a penalty. The only one you can is targeting because it's an ejection.
Is that just college or NFL too?
You can't review penalties. That's something dumb. That I can't believe you can get that wrong. And besides, okay, so here's the thing. It's like maybe the one referee over there was at a bad angle and it looked like it to him. But every single other person, like every other single other referee, once the ball's in the air, if there's nothing that has happened, like except for, I guess, the main official because he's got to make sure that there's not roughing the quarterback. But every other referee, in my mind anyway, should be watching like to see at least there should be a couple guys that get a chance to watch the play as well. And be able to say, yeah, no, that wasn't an offensive pass interference. If anything, it was defense. But they decided it wasn't that. Like nobody corrected the referee. Completely the worst call I've ever seen. you call offensive pass interference just for brushing off the hands is ridiculous. And it cost us the game. We didn't do ourselves any favors afterwards because then we were going up and I guess we weren't all on the same page or something. So we took our last timeout. And then on the next play, we ran the ball, and for some reason, there was a miscommunication where the field goal team was trying to run onto the field, and the offensive team was trying to spike the ball to stop the clock, which is what they should have done. But then after the confusion and all, they didn't even get a kickoff. I mean, not before the end of regulation anyway. They did kick it, and it was terrible. But it's just, we didn't do ourselves any favors after the fact, but that was a beyond terrible call. Double platinum status in the Wall of Shame.
Double platinum. We've had some repeat offenders. So that's
yeah. I believe it was the
VIP
same crew.
Treatment. Oh, wow. So they're like,
it's LVP.
LVP.
Least valuable player. Yeah. And then the other one of my entries is related because right after that, you know, after the game, like once regulation had ended, we were booing the refs because of how bad that they screwed that up. And then New Mexico had the audacity to go onto our field, like rush our field, and act like they just won a championship or whatever, and they were taunting our fans. And so we were all booing at them and at the refs as they were leaving. Like, we weren't saying nice things. But for some reason,
knowing Aggie fans, that makes sense.
Yeah. But for some reason, a few Aggie players on Twitter were complaining about us booing them. And they said we should never boo them. I'm not going to name names, but, I mean, if anyone has paid attention on Twitter, you probably know who I'm talking about. But there's at least a couple different guys who did it that were complaining about us booing them. First off, we weren't booing you. Second off, it's not like we don't have reason to boo you.
Yeah, it's not like we would be unjustified. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's like you're our team and we'll like we live and die by you and we always want to support you and everything. But honestly, with the way that you guys managed the clock for those last 16 seconds, like honestly, and the way you've played all season, you are not exempt from booing. But we weren't even booing at you. And that's the thing that drives me nuts. Like, I mean, I get that it's tough or whatever to be a student athlete and stuff, but it's not ridiculous for your fans to kind of assume that you're going to play at a certain level. Like, we don't expect you to go undefeated. We don't expect you to beat every single team you play, but you guys are losing lots of games that you should win.
This year, yeah, particularly atrocious. I mean, what was it now, 1-7 or something in conference play, or 1-6?
It's something like that. It's bad.
Yeah. After having, in very recent memory, at least competed for a conference title.
Yeah, I mean, we went to the conference championship game a couple of years ago. We barely missed out on it like 2 years ago. Last year, we had a little bit of a down year, and I thought that we would pick ourselves back up, but we're getting worse.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating. But to me, for you to come out and complain about us booing you because, A, we weren't booing you, is ridiculous because it's not like you haven't given us a reason to boo.
Yeah, I think I would add to that.
And like,
unless you need to get any more.
Really, really quick, I just want to say, not that we want to boo like any individual player for like maybe messing up or whatever, but as a team not performing anywhere near the level that you should, given how much money is going into the program from student fees and from donors and all that, it's not unreasonable for us to expect you
new facilities
to play well. I mean, we spent a ton of money on the team. And, like, I love our football team. I love our football team despite the fact that they've been awful this year. Like, I mean, but still, like, it's not unreasonable to make that conjecture that you should be playing better than you are. Once again, we weren't booing you, but you kind of don't have any room to talk if we were.
And I would just add to that, can people get off the whole, like, hating the booing thing? Like, there was some op-ed or letter to the editor in the Statesman recently about, it, like, was against how we cheer. at like it was aimed at the basketball games, but it's like booing and trash talking. I have to read
that because that sounds stupid.
Yeah, and I don't know. It sounded like someone who wasn't a sports fan. But it's just like that's a part of the game. I mean, fans are going to voice their displeasure at what they think or either at their team or at another team. And booing is just a part of the game, and it's wonderful in my opinion. I think the only team I would never boo is any of the military schools. Other than that, I'm going to boo.
Well, I mean,
you know,
we won't. With the military teams, like every time the Air Force comes here, like we don't do our usual when they're announcing them and yelling when they say their name yelling sucks.
Yeah.
We don't do that to the military and that's good.
That's the one but like, during the game, out of bounds.
It's different. Yeah. It's different. It during the game because you're like involved in the game. But like we also respect them for what they're doing, so that's why we don't boo them before. But during the game, like you don't get a free pass just because you're going to military school. Like obviously we do need to respect what they're doing for our country and being a part of the military and all that. And that's what we do before the games is we actually clap for them when they come. I think they kind of miss out because they don't actually get to see the full spectrum, like get the full spectrum experience.
Yeah, and I mean.
But I'm definitely going to have to read this letter.
Yeah, it was in one of the recent issues, so it should still be able to be found. But yeah, but like basic point is, you know, booing, there's nothing wrong with it. In my opinion,
I mean, you should limit how much you boo your own team.
Yeah, I mean,
like because that doesn't really help. But like, if it's at the end of a game, like, and you play terrible, I'm not too opposed to it.
So, I mean, we're not like the Cleveland Browns fans in the last game of the original franchise when they tore up the stadium. I mean, we're not like that ridiculous, but
yeah,
still, I don't know.
But like, if we weren't. If we didn't care, like, I mean, we wouldn't boo if we didn't care. Like, if we didn't have
expectations, we wouldn't boo.
If we didn't care how our team did, if we didn't have expectations of them to play well, we wouldn't boo. Yeah. And again, we weren't even booing at our team. I mean, there have been people calling for them to take out Kent Myers, which at times I'm kind of on the same line of thought because he's played poorly in a lot of situations. Now he's also played well in others. So I mean I don't know that there's really the better option, but honestly, if you're an athlete, like that comes with the territory, and you got to be able to handle that because if you can't handle a little bit of negative feedback from your own fans because you're not the team's not playing sufficiently, I mean, what are you expecting? Yeah. Like you don't want your fans to be upset if you're not playing well?
Yeah.
You want them to just be okay with it? Yeah.
It means they don't care.
It's the same thing with your coaches. Like, if your coach isn't getting after you for when you mess up, it means he doesn't care. And so that's the same thing. It's like, we're not doing it to try to tear you down. We're doing it to say, like, look, we know you're better than this. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. But once again, we weren't even booing them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are my entries to the Wall of Shame, and it kind of got – A little bit beyond the regular
I would retrospectively add that op-ed or letter that I read in the
States. Yeah, we're going to have to check that out.
Yeah, so that retroactively becomes my second entry.
All right.
So,
ready or not, here comes the main event.
It's go time.
All right, today's main event, I did allude to it earlier, is our men's basketball, and then we'll also do our picks to finish out the show. This is going to be a shorter main event, but I did want to kind of give an update on our men's basketball team because I think they're going to have a really good year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so stoked about them. And I was this summer because I got to meet a lot of the new guys who came into the program, and they've done excellent so far. And we actually have post players now. I mean, Norby Janicek, I mean, I didn't expect him to start. I guess I should have seen it coming. But I didn't really expect him to start, but he's played really well. I mean, he's not putting up blistering points and rebounds, but he's getting a decent number of both.
Yeah, he's doing
his job. And he's doing a good job. He's posting up, doing a good job. We didn't really have post players. I mean, even at that, I mean, a lot of our post players were stretch guys. You got Jalen Moore, who's a wing player, playing at post because we didn't have taller people than him. I mean, that's a bit of an issue, but we now have a few different options. We also have got Gore Barnaba I can never say his last name right, and he'll probably be upset at me if he ever hears me say his name wrong.
So we apologize if he ever hears.
Yeah, I saw him in Jimmy John's the other day. He's like, "Hey, Ethan, what's up?" And it was, I was like, "Oh, hey guys, I heard you guys won." This was Wednesday after the game, and
yeah,
he and Kobe came into Jimmy John's, and I gotta talk to them for a second. But anyway. Gort is another guy. He's a post player. Like, he's playing well. He also apparently can shoot from deep because he's done it a few times. Also, Quentin Taylor, he hasn't played as much as I thought he would because I thought he would kind of be one of the main guys, but he hasn't been. He's still getting time and stuff, but I just thought he would be in there a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't remember him as much as when I went to the games last year. So.
Yeah, and Kobe has done awesome so far. He's been really good, making great hustle plays, doing a great job. There's a lot of stuff that won't even show up on the stat sheet, but he had a couple different saves in the game against NJIT on Monday, and just working really hard. I'm super stoked about the game tomorrow night against Idaho State. I hope we beat the tar out of them because I don't like Idaho State at all. they're awful. Yeah. And I'm super stoked about it. And also, Shane Rector has done pretty well, as we expected. Same with Jalen Moore. Those guys are playing pretty well. Haven't seen Julian Perry as much as I thought we would, but maybe that'll happen later on the season. But he's great off the bench anyway. He hasn't started this year because Kobe's starting. But I think we got a good dynamic, and the guys really like each other. It's been fun so far, and I mean, I want to see more people at the Spectrum because our attendance on Monday was abysmal with our home opener, and we were only like about halfway full, and there was lots of empty student seats, and even a lot of those seats that were students were just sitting, and that drives me nuts.
Oh, especially the section behind the hoop over there where it's like really supposed to be crazy. Yeah, I sat one of the games. I was back there, and the whole row in front of me just like sitting or texting or whatever, just like, what are you doing here? Go over to that side.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, there's another thing that's really frustrating for me is when people, particularly on the front row, don't cheer. Like, we're talking about that section behind the basket again.
Yeah.
There's like five or six guys in the front row that they came with posters and stuff, which was good, I guess. But they weren't cheering at all when we were on defense. They were just standing there watching. It's like, no, make some noise. Make it so loud that the offense can't hear themselves think.
Yeah, and
They weren't. They were just sitting there, and it was making me so mad.
Especially distracting the bench. I mean, that's the point of that, like, to the right end of that row.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the right end of the row was all right. It was the left side, the one by the band. Like, they were not cheering on defense. They were doing cheers on offense, which honestly I take those off most of the time because it's not really that important. Defense is where it's at, and I was getting a headache because I hadn't cheered so hard and so loud for a while. And when you kind of go with on short rest
on short rest
I just didn't have as much volume and everything to what I was doing.
Sorry, that's like just one quick thing and then we'll get right back. That's like the Onion article about the Cubs fan getting ready to get drunk on short rest.
It was so funny.
That's just
what I tagged you in that, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I tagged you in it on Facebook. Yeah, no, it's just.
But yeah, but it's kind of like.
But anyway, they're doing awesome.
But yeah, attendance is a problem, though, I think.
Yeah.
Just because it is not.
It is. I mean, and it's partially to be expected because I don't think people realize there was a game on a Monday. They're not usually on a Monday, and I think our attendance will be better when people are more used to the schedule and stuff. Most of our games will be on Saturday, or Wednesday. At least the ones here will mostly be on Saturdays and Wednesdays. So I think that our attendance will be better in the future, but I'm kind of worried about tomorrow because I think some people will just say, screw classes next Monday and Tuesday.
They're like, I'm going home.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm probably going to say screw those classes, but I'm not going home.
Yeah.
Well, I actually don't have one of my classes on Thursday.
Obviously.
Not Thursday, Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
I meant Tuesday. I don't have my one class because The teacher's going to be gone or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, our classes are canceled. So.
I mean, I like my family too, but I mean, last year around Christmas time when we had that tournament, I was like, I'm going to move my travel plans around this.
Yeah, weekend. Yeah, right? Yeah. And yeah, when I moved back up here to start coming back up here in 2 years ago, I came up so that I could be at the game on New Year's Eve. I said, screw being at my sister's house for New Year's Eve. I'm going back so I can go to the game.
Heck yeah.
And heck so yeah. It was disappointing when there were like no people there. So that's just like, I like my family and everything, but I mean, I don't know how people can go the entire break and stay home. How do you do that? Because A, how do you not have to work?
Yeah.
And B,
who gets that amount of time off?
Why do you want to spend that much time at home? For me, it's weird spending time at home. Like, I mean, more than like a day or two. Like, I can't spend like a week and a half or 2 weeks or three.
Yeah, because you realize, like, for me, it's like I go home and I'm like, this was great in high school, but this isn't my place anymore.
I know, it's weird.
It's like I don't really belong away, here.
Once you move away, it's really weird to go back. And I don't know why it's not the case for a lot of people, but I mean, to each their own. But
yeah,
for me, I'm gonna be home for like 3 days, maybe.
Yeah.
For Christmas, for Thanksgiving, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna have to drive up and drive back the same day because I'm gonna have to work the day before and the day after.
Jeez.
And like, I'm gonna be working until like 10 on like Wednesday night, and then get up and go up there in the morning, and then come back that night because I'm gonna have to work at 10:40 the next morning.
Jeez.
So.
Kudos to you if you can get 2 weeks off of work.
Right.
In the winter break.
Or if they don't have to work. I don't get how people can do that. But
yeah,
I mean, maybe their parents are paying for it, and maybe that's why they have to go there for that long. Maybe they don't actually want to, but their parents are paying the bills.
But
I don't know.
But when it comes to Aggie Ball, we need something. We need like another Wild Bill. Something's got to spark us back into. Do you remember Wild Bill?
Yeah, no, okay. I remember Wild Bill.
I was just making sure.
Of course I remember Wild Bill.
Yeah, it's just there's that look on your face for like
a second. I was just spacing out because I was thinking of something else. But no, I know Wild Bill.
Yeah.
I was here when he was here. Like when I was a freshman, that was all the rage. And when I was a freshman, it was great because we filled up the Spectrum every night that we had a game. And it was the best thing ever. But then like the last couple of years, we've had varying attendance.
Yeah.
Well,
it just makes it awkward, like especially like for people like us who try to go to a bunch of the games and we try to cheer and we try to get into it. If you're sitting near somebody who's out of it, it just feels awkward because you're yelling next to somebody. It's like, how about you join us, you know?
Yeah.
So we can intimidate this other team.
I mean, it helps so much. And I've talked about this so many times in the past, like making noise really helps out so much. Cheering for the team helps out so much that gives you that home court advantage,
and that's
which is much bigger in basketball than it is football.
Yeah, because there's a reason why ESPN once ranked us as one of the toughest places to play.
Yeah, we were number three in the country.
Yeah, and that's a reason because, you know, it's indoors, so that noise will stay, you know, instead of
– And we're also right on top of the court.
Yeah.
Like, we're right next to the court. There's – Especially, a lot of places have lots of space, like 20, 30 feet from the court. We got like three or 4 feet from the court.
The refs are always making sure people aren't trying to like, you know, reach out to the players practically, you know. And if you're an opponent and you have to take it out under that basket.
Or on the
you've
side.
You've got people screaming right into your ear.
Oh, I'm screaming all kinds of angry and not very nice things at the people when they're over by our side. And I mean, if you think that doesn't affect them, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, very few people will not be affected by that. Yeah. So, yeah, I would encourage everybody to go. If you're catching this before the Idaho State game and you're in town,
go.
Please go. It's free.
And be loud.
I mean, you've already paid to go. Yeah. You might as well be there.
Holder.
You are a season ticket holder. All you need to do is swipe your card.
Yeah. But
And just go there all the time. Another problem that we have is our scheduling. Why do we schedule like two or three of our top games during winter break when people aren't going to be here? Why?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
That takes away our home court advantage that we might need in those games if we're going to win them.
Yeah. But I would say, speaking of the playing side of things, what I've really liked is that there's a lot of new faces and a lot of young players, but they have been really quick to get with the program, basically.
Yeah.
Especially McEwen. Yeah. No trepidation at all at playing D1 basketball. Just looked right at home from the very beginning. Because I went to the preseason game against Southern Virginia, and he played in that, and he was just comfortable from the start, even when the regular season started. So a lot of new faces, but like I said, McEwen and Janicek just looked very comfortable out on the court. I mean,
Kobe and Norby.
Gotta get some T-shirts made of that. Kobe and Norby.
I mean, people would probably buy them. So,
but yeah. So it's good to see that. You know, it's a team that still has a lot of time to develop as a unit, but they're already, you know, they're already pretty fearless. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they've transitioned really well, and I'm super excited about that. Yeah.
So but we got to make it turnt, though.
We got to help them by getting turnt. Got to get turnt.
Yeah.
And Evan needs to show up before halftime next time. Now, as we were passing out previews for the Statesman and – They're at basketball previews, which I'm pretty sure you can find those in the TSC somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but I'm sure that they have them. We were passing those out before it, and we had like 5 minutes left, and I was like, all right, I'm done. And I went down to my spot. Evan was still passing them
they until
like
let halfway me through go. The first half.
I would say, screw it, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I know now for the future. I know now.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to have a spasm out again. I'm not helping again. I'd be like, no, I already did this.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, so you can also check those out on the Statesman website, if you want to look at a digital copy. But yeah, with that, well, let's transition into our picks for football.
Yeah.
And
so it's week 11.
Yeah. And let's see if you can actually write these down correctly the first time.
I did that this past week.
Okay.
The key is to write them down before we start the show.
Oh, did you already do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I at least wrote the lines down correctly.
You wrote the lines down?
Yes. Okay.
Well, I'll have to look at it in a little bit. And I'll probably have to take a picture because you never respond when I ask you to send me a picture of them. No, I'm just not going to show up. So, starting out, we have the Steelers traveling to Cleveland to take on the lowly Browns.
This rivalry should be so much better than this.
Surprisingly, the Steelers are 4-5 now.
Yeah.
They dropped like 5 in a row? Is that what's been going on?
It's some kind of
stupid. I got to look this up because this surprised me when I saw this the other day.
But while you're looking that up, I mean, this is more big picture than just this season, but this rivalry needs to be something more than just an all right or decent Steelers team beating up on the cruddy Browns.
I mean, it would be so
nice just to see this be like a game of the week quality matchup. But
okay, so the Steelers 1-2, lost one badly, then 1-2 more, and now have lost 4 straight. They lost to Miami, bad loss. Lost to New England, not terrible. Lost to Baltimore, not a good loss. No. Lost to Dallas, which was a
Dallas
close game.
Good.
So, I mean, they haven't been awful, but still 4-5. It's tough to come back from that. Anyway, they are 8.5-point favorites.
Oh, yeah. They totally. At least. This will be a 2-score game for the Steelers, in my opinion.
I'm torn because Cleveland somehow finds ways to be close.
For the line purposes, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, I mean, I don't expect the Browns to win.
No.
But I'm considering taking them on the spread because they might be able to get it to just a 1-touchdown game. That being said, I think the Steelers will come out angry. I'm going to go with the Steelers. I have a hard time picking the Browns, but, I mean, I might regret that later. We got the Cowboys hosting the Ravens as a 7-point favorite.
Oh, Cowboys.
Cowboys have been getting it done. However, the Ravens have been decent as well.
Yeah.
I'm torn because I feel like the Cowboys, it has to come off the rails at some point, doesn't it? Because, I mean, they're playing with 2 rookies as their main players on offense.
But you know the quarterback's solid, though. Prescott.
No, I mean, they're both – he's solid in
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott is really good, but you got to imagine that they're going to have a rough game one of these times, right? Yeah. I'm going to pick the Ravens.
All right.
I'm going to pick them to cover the spread.
Yeah.
They might win the game. They might not. Either way, I think that they'll have it be closer than 7. And I hope I'm right. Lions host the Jaguars as a 6.5-point favorite.
Lions, they keep hanging in there in that terrible NFC North.
Well, it didn't look so terrible like not that long ago.
Well, no, but I don't know. I've got a good feeling about the Lions, and I think that they win this by a touchdown, so they'll edge up that 6.5 spread.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you on that one. I think that they will win by at least a touchdown. But the Jaguars do have a way of making things close at the end of the game, even though they don't really have a chance to win. But we'll see. The Colts host the Titans. Indianapolis is a 3-point favorite.
I think the Titans could beat the spread and probably win.
I'm torn. I was thinking about going that way.
And then I picked it?
And then you picked it.
I'm sorry.
Which, I mean, Pass should say, yeah, you should probably just go with it anyway. At the same time, the Colts play a lot better at home. I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. Because I believe a lot in Andrew Luck. I don't believe in that Colts defense or their offensive line. So,
yeah, that could be tough if it's only basically a field goal worth of spread.
I'm going to go with Mariota and the Titans. The mighty, mighty Titans. The Bengals host the Bills, 2.5-point favorites.
Bengals.
This is one of the tough ones for me this week. I mean, these are both two teams that, I mean, one has been a bit overachieving, but they've fallen off as of late, and the other one's just been underachieving all season. I will go with the Bengals. I
thought we were going to do this together.
No, this is tough because I can see the Bills finding a way to win, but I just don't believe in the Bills either. The Bengals have already lost 5, and they've tied once like a bunch of idiots. I'll go with the Bengals. I think that they win by at least 3.
Yes.
The Chiefs host the Buccaneers. They are a 7.5-point favorite.
Chiefs at home. I think it's a 2-score game. So, yes, the Chiefs win this spread.
What? They win what? What was the last thing you said?
Spread.
This spread. Okay. I thought you said the spring, and I was like, what? So confused.
They win the bread.
I don't know. Kansas City hasn't done a great job of getting it into the end zone. Tampa Bay has had so much of a struggle trying to get a rushing game going because they just don't avoid injuries well at all. They've got so many injuries.
That could have hampered running back. You.
I mean, their leading rusher, Jaquizz Rodgers, is out. I don't know. I'll go with the Chiefs as well.
Yes.
But I wouldn't be surprised if I'm wrong. Giants host your Bears, 7.5-point favorites.
Even on a spread pick, I'm not sure I want to do that. Even when if they could lose, I would still win this one. I don't know. It's the Giants at home. But it's 7.5, so even if it's just that's too tempting. Okay, I will go with the
Bears.
He's
going with the fan pick.
I don't think they'll win, but it'll be a touchdown difference. So.
Oh, I think that it's not going to be a touchdown difference. I think the Giants will win this one by at least 10, probably more. The Bears
so
are
we
not
go.
Good.
Now we've got our second different pick of the
okay. pick Vikings of the host the Cardinals, 2-point favorite.
Cardinals. I think the Vikings are just
they're
a weird
kind of in free fall lately.
And although
losing
the Arizona,
4 straight.
Although Arizona has disappointed, they're not losing 4 straight. So.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Minnesota just because Palmer does not do well when he plays good defenses. And I think he's going to turn over the ball a lot. And I think that they'll start to figure out a little bit on offense. I'd say the defense scores a couple times. I'm going to go with Minnesota to win by at least, you know, the spread of two. I'd say they win by at least three. So it's probably going to be a close game, but I think that Carson Palmer will find a way to lose. All right. Next up, we have the Rams hosting the Dolphins. Miami is a two-point favorite.
Rams.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm just feeling it.
I'm going with the Dolphins.
There we go.
I would have gone with the Rams, except this is Jared Goff's first game as in the NFL. And I just feel like it's gonna be hard for him to adjust in this one. I think that they'll be fine after this first one, but I just think it'll be tough for him. And I think it'll be a close game, but I'd say like Miami can win by three at least. So, and they've been playing really well lately. I feel like they've rattled off like five wins in a row. I got to look this up because they've been killing it lately. So they won four in a row after they lost to the Titans. Yeah, so, I mean, they've got four wins in a row. I'm going to go with them. They got momentum. Though it's hard for me to pick against the Rams because they're supposed to be my number two team because they're in L.A. 49ers host the Patriots. New England, 11.5-point favorite.
Oh, New England.
Oh, easy. Yeah. The 49ers are the worst team, I think. I think they're worse than the Browns.
As like I really performance?
Do. Yes.
Okay.
I think they're a worse team than the Browns. And that's saying something.
That is.
They're just awful. I mean, and Colin Kaepernick is a joke. Dude protests. You know, how things are going in the country, but he's not even registered to vote. Idiot. So the Seahawks host the Eagles. They are 6.5-point favorites. Eagles have had a rough few weeks here.
That's true.
They have lost. Well, they won last week, but before that, they lost two in a row and four out of five. So,
yeah.
They got back on track last week.
Yeah, but will that be enough against the Seahawks? At least, because it's less than a touchdown of difference, so.
What to do, Evan?
I think Seattle is my pick for this.
I concur. I think that they will find a way to win by seven. They're at home. Yeah. And it's going to be a tough place for Carson Wentz to play. He hasn't played in – I don't think he's played anywhere that's quite that hostile yet. I'd have to look at the schedule. Maybe he has, but Seattle is extremely loud, and so I think it'll be tough. So it's not unreasonable to think they'll win by a touchdown. Packers travel to Washington to take on the Redskins, who are a 3-point favorite.
I'll give it to Washington.
Yeah, I'm going to too because Aaron Rodgers has not been great this year. He also hasn't had a lot of help. They've got no running game because everybody's injured. Yeah, I just would expect the Redskins to win by more than three. So, Redskins quietly doing pretty well this year, 5-3-1. Last up, Monday night, the Raiders host the Texans. The Raiders are 5.5-point favorite.
Raiders, they're doing great in the AFC West, and Houston has just not lived up to expectations. So,
see, this one I'm kind of torn on because I think that the Raiders' defense might be bad enough to let them at least have it be less than 5.5. I'm going to decide. Well, I mean, they barely beat the Jaguars last week. They barely beat the Lions the week before. It's hard with this team. They are not a great team.
No.
Osweiler has been less than stellar. I'm going to say Houston beats the spread. So, I kind of think that Oakland will still win the game, but I think that it'll be closer. Really close. And I feel like it's probably going to be a shootout because Oakland's got a really good offense. Houston can do well on offense. They've got good weapons. I don't believe in Osweiler. But their defense is also good. So I think it'll be a close game, and I think that it'll be less than 5.5, or maybe that Houston wins. And I might be signing away my lead in our picks. But for those of you who cannot see, which is everybody, Evan is rubbing his hands like an evil genius or maniac, whatever. But anyway, those are our picks for this week. I'm pretty sure we made it clear, but we did pick the Saints to cover the spread.
Yeah,
I thought they were going to win. They covered the spread. That was the important part. It was a 3.5-point spread, and they lost by 3. So we both benefited from that. We want to thank you guys for listening, and have a good one.
This has been another edition of the Bullpen Podcast on Aggie Radio.
Catch us on aggieradio.com and on Twitter @USUBullpen.